that you and I are even able to gather in this place today with the freedom that we have to worship God. Today is Veterans Day. And so before we get started on our lesson, I would just like to take a moment to acknowledge anyone here that is or has served in the military, all of our veterans. If you are a veteran, I know we have some that are veterans of our congregation that are not here today, but who do we have today that are veterans? If you would stand where you are, please. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you so much for serving. Yes. Absolutely. And Pat, just mentioned to me, and also we have Miss Jean back here, whose husbands have gladly served in the military and are veterans and have served in that way. And so we certainly do appreciate the service of all of those who are still alive and those who have passed on. And we thank you because you served right along with them, didn't you? Absolutely. Now, Kai, you have to help me here. Tomorrow, I understand there's a special event at Metoaka Middle School for veterans and for anybody that wants to come. Is that right? Tell me a little bit more about this. Okay, two different programs, Metoaka Middle School, 8:30 and 10:15. And that's for veterans, but also it's to honor veterans. Is that correct? Okay, so both of those times, I want to encourage you to participate in that if you can. Okay. Okay, tomorrow at noon at John Tyler, there's a program there. Okay, all right. So, we have an awful lot to be thankful for in that regard, don't we? And so we need to make sure that we never forget those who make this possible for us this morning. And we're talking about, one who ultimately gave his life so that this would be possible and that you and I today could gather and remember what Jesus did for us. What we just did here a moment ago to remember the sacrifice that he gave. But also this morning in particular, I want to focus our attention on Jesus as the great I am. And what does that really mean for you and I today? Why is that statement so significant? Well, I want to encourage you to turn in your Bible over to John chapter 8. And in John 8 here, what we're seeing is Jesus is at a point in his ministry where there's a lot of confrontation that is going on between he and the religious leaders of his day, and there's these constant challenges to who Jesus is and what he's doing and so forth. So we see these different conversations. If you look beginning in verse 12, there's one situation here that's going on, and this almost seems like that there are perhaps maybe these different conversations, these different confrontations that are taking place, maybe over a series of a couple of days here, different occasions. They may have been, one particular day where different events occurred, but what we see happening is Jesus is at a point where He's basically testifying to the people about who he is. And his testimony is being challenged by the religious leaders. Okay? So Jesus lays out for them, beginning in verse 12, he says, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." And you see the challenge by the Pharisees here. Here you are appearing as your own witness, your testimony is not valid. And Jesus goes on to reply, respond to their challenge to him that even if I testify on my own behalf, my testimony is valid, for I know where I came from and where I am going. But you have not any idea where I come from or where I am going. And so Jesus challenges them on where they are and their position. They ask him, verse 19, "Where is your father?" "You do not know me or my father," Jesus replied. "If you knew me, you would know my father also." And again, you know, this challenge that just keeps coming from them, Jesus goes on to say to them, verse 21, "I am going away, and you will look for me, and you will not, and you will die in your sins. Where I go, you cannot come." Then they ask him, here's another challenge, "Will he kill himself? Is that why he says, 'Where I go, you cannot come'?" But Jesus continues. You see this confrontational attitude, this mode that they are in right now, back and forth. "You are from below, I am from above. You are of this world, I am not of this world. I told you that you would die in your sins. If you do not believe that I am the one I claim to be, you will indeed die in your sins." "Who are you?" they asked. "Just what I've been claiming all along," Jesus replied. "I've got much to say in judgment of you, but he who sent me is reliable, and what I have heard from him, I tell the world." And they did not understand that he was telling them about his Father. So Jesus said, "When you have lifted up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am the one I claim to be, and that I do nothing on my own, but speak just what the Father has taught me. The one who sent me is with me. He has not left me alone, for I always do what pleases him." And at this particular point, John tells us that many of the people put their faith in Jesus. They're listening to what he has to say, and they're believing in him as the one that he claims to be. And so then we come to this point that Jesus gives this statement about the importance and the significance of living in obedience to him. When he talks to them, those who are following him, described by John here as disciples of Jesus, you see, to them he says, "If you hold to my teachings, then you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." Now, the problem really intensifies right here with that particular statement. Okay? Look at the response of many of these who are gathered that are listening to what Jesus has just said. Verse 33, "They answered him, 'We are Abraham's descendants and have never been slaves of anyone. How can you say that we shall be set free?'" Now, as you continue reading in this dialogue that is taking place here, this confrontation, it gets increasingly heated, doesn't it? You see? And so we come to the point where if you look at, go down to our text that was read for us as we began this morning. Look at verse 53. "Are you greater than our father Abraham? He died, and so did the prophets. Who do you think you are?" Have you ever used that expression at someone before? Oh yeah, some of you. Yeah, I have. Yeah. That kind of an expression is usually an indication that there is some kind of a major confrontation going on in there. You see? Maybe you as parents have said it to your children, right? "Who do you think you are? Get back in your room." You know, or something along that line, right? Because, you know, maybe they're talking back or not doing what we told them to do and so forth. But we're very familiar with that kind of a statement, aren't we? "Who do you think you are?" It's a statement that indicates that the person who is making that statement feels like this other person is putting themselves above them, isn't it? You say, who do you think you are to tell me what to do? Ever? Yeah, okay, you know. You see? So we know what that kind of a statement is. And that is what they're saying to Jesus. Who do you think you are? Because Jesus has just put them in their place. You see? So we look at the significance of that statement. What's going on here is that they're disputing with Jesus about their relationship with God. You see? And they're claiming, first of all, that they are the children of Abraham. Abraham is our father. And they are then also, and we read a few moments ago here, their claim that they have never been slaves to anyone. Now, the reason that statement is significant is because, in essence, what it's doing is denying their ancestral participation in the Exodus. Think about that. They're denying what God had done for them in bringing them out of Egypt, out of slavery. We've never been slaves to anyone, they declared. They've forgotten, or they are dismissing, the significance of one of the most powerful events in all of human history. And they write it off. You see? Jesus turns it right back around on them. As they are claiming to be the children of Abraham, what does Jesus say? No, you're not. I'll tell you whose children you are. You're children of the devil. Now, I don't know about where you come from, but from where I come from, we would say them's fighting words. Okay? You see? In other words, my point here is that Jesus is not backing down from them, not one bit. See? And in fact, what he's doing is he's putting some gasoline on the fire, isn't he? You see? I mean, he's stoking this fire with these guys. You're not only are you not children of Abraham, your father is the devil. And there's a section in here from verse 42 on down to 47 where he basically, you know, tells them and lays it out for them that you know, who their father really is and the fact that he's a liar and he speaks his native tongue whenever he lies and that's who your father is. Well, let me ask you this. You know, again, you know, them's fighting words, okay? So how do you think these people are feeling right now toward Jesus? Yeah, not too good, really, right? I mean, it's like they're not ready to, oh, by the way, why don't you come home and have dinner with me today, right? You know? Oh, no. Oh, no. This discussion is getting heated more and more. See? If you were children of Abraham, then you would do what he did. Jesus tells him, you're doing what your real father, the devil, does. You're attacking me. And then that question, who do you think you are? Well, here's the answer to that. Jesus didn't think. He knew who he was. And that's important, you see. They're throwing this at Jesus as this, you know, this derogatory, you know, argumentative, who do you think you are to tell us these things? And Jesus' response, without saying a word, is, I don't think. I know who I am. He knew exactly who he was. He had already said, we read as we first began, he knew where he had come from and he knew where he was going. He didn't think. He knew. There was no doubt no question in his mind. All the doubt, all the question was in their minds, not in Jesus's. He knew exactly who he was. But you see, the problem is, the problem for these folks is the same one that's going on today. Satan tries to confuse people about who Jesus is. You see? And so we would need to ask ourselves the question, but ask it in a different tone, in a different way, that simply says, who do you think Jesus is? See? Because the world has a whole lot of different ideas about who he is. Jesus knows who he is. But who do you know Jesus to be? Do you know Jesus as the great I am? Because that's who he claims to be right here. Then we need to look at this thing about Jesus' statement about being born before Abraham. Before Abraham was born, Jesus declares, before Abraham was born. What does that mean? Well, I think that Jesus is making a statement here, a declaration about his origin. Basically, what he's saying here is, I have always existed. From the beginning. You recount your history and you go all the way back to Abraham, and that's where you focus as the beginning of you as a people. And Jesus says, I was here before that time. Before Abraham was born. Before the promise that you rest your lives on, that God gave to Abraham. Before that promise is what Jesus is saying. Before Abraham was born. Before you even existed as a nation is included in Jesus' statement, before Abraham was born. You see, Jesus is establishing his place with the Father from the very beginning. Before Abraham was born. In verse 38, Jesus makes this statement. Go back over there and look at verse 38. He says, I am telling you what I have seen. Where? In the Father's presence. Now, that's significant. And it goes right along with this statement. Before Abraham was born, I was in the Father's presence. And what I'm doing now is what I've seen the Father do when I was in His presence before Abraham was born. You see? That history is significant, isn't it? Because what it does is it reconfirms, and Jesus is testifying about himself what John recorded for us in chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. When he says, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. And so when Jesus says, before Abraham was born. That's what he's talking about here. He's talking about the fact that before Abraham was born, all of these things were already happening. I was involved in the creation. In fact, as John says, through him all things were created, and without him nothing that has been created was created. Before Abraham was born. You see how that statement applies. But Jesus doesn't end it with that, does he? And here's the impact of that. Before Abraham was born, I am. I am. Well, I am what? In order to really understand what Jesus is referring to and what he means by that statement and that identity, and that's what it is, he is taking that identity on himself. You got to go back over to Exodus. You say, go back over to Exodus chapter 3. And here we have the conversation that God is having with Moses there at the burning bush, don't we? And God is saying to Moses, Moses, I've got a job for you to do. Now, I'm paraphrasing here, okay? Moses, I have a job for you to do. And Moses says, but I don't want to do it. And God says, I want you to do it anyway. Moses says, but I don't want to. And God says, but you're going to. And Moses says, but I really don't want to. And God says, but you're going to do it anyway. And Moses says, but I'm not really the best guy for the job. You know, it's kind of that conversation is going that way, isn't it? You say? And finally, God convinces Moses that he's going to do what he told him to do. You say, isn't it interesting how God always gets his way? Okay? And so finally Moses comes to the point where he realizes, I don't think I'm getting out of this thing. Okay, God, I got a question for you. Or whoever it is that's speaking out of this burning bush to me. Okay? Suppose that I go there and I tell the people what you've just told me, and I think that probably Moses is, you know, his idea about this at this time is, they're not going to believe this anyway, but okay, I'll go along with it. I mean, who's going to go to a bunch of people and say, hey, let me tell you, the other day I was over here herding my sheep and this bush was burning and then it started talking to me. And the people are just going to go, oh, cool, what did you say? No, I doubt it. He's going to have to convince them, right? And so Moses is concerned about convincing the Israelite people, you know, about this message that God has given him. And so what does he say to God? Okay, suppose I go to them and I tell them this, and they ask me, who is it that sent you? What is His name? What should I tell them? And the response that came from the bush, that is from God, is what? Tell them, I am sent you. You say, why? Because that is the name that God chose and still chooses to be known by. I am. And Jesus, on this occasion, you know what he's really saying? To these Israelites who knew all of the stories, who knew all of the things that had taken place throughout their history, certainly they were aware of the story of Moses and him standing there on that mountain talking to this bush that's burning up. And what Jesus is saying is, I'm the voice from the bush. Yeah, that's exactly what he's saying. I'm the one who spoke to Moses. Oh, by the way, he's the one that you call the lawgiver. I'm the one who spoke from the bush. Before Abraham was, I am. Jesus was identifying himself as God. And that's why they wanted to kill him. They considered that to be blasphemy. You see, look at the last thing that it says here. At this, they picked up stones to stone him. But Jesus hid himself, slipping away from the temple grounds. Why did they want to do that? Because they knew what Jesus was saying. They knew what that designation was. No one would claim to be the I Am without claiming to be God Himself. They understood what Jesus was saying. Oh, they denied it. That's why they wanted to kill Him. But they understood it. that when Jesus said, before Abraham was, I am, he was claiming to be God. God Himself, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the ones that He came before, the one who spoke to Moses out of the burning bush, the great I Am. That's His name. Notice that Jesus doesn't say, it is not as I was, but I am. It's present tense. See? And that's why God uses that name, I believe. See? God is not a God of history that we would look at and say, yes, God was active back then in the Bible times, the way a lot of people look at God today. God was doing all of these things. But rather, God is. Because God is an I am, not an I was. God was involved in the people's lives back then, and He still is today. Why? Because He is the great I Am. And that's how He wants you to know Him. The same I Am that delivered the Israelites out of Egypt, that spoke to Moses out of that bush, is the same one that hung on the cross for your sins and mine. Same one that rose from the grave, that overcame the power of death for us. That's the great I Am. Not an I was, an I Am. You know, oftentimes I think we talk about Jesus in terms of what He was when He was here. See? We need to look at Jesus not just what He was when He was here physically in this world, but who Jesus is even today, even now. He was then, and He continues to be the great I Am. Do you know Him in that way? Do you know Jesus as the great I Am, the God of the universe, the one who spoke to Moses out of the bush, and the one who hung on the cross of Calvary, the one who rose up from the grave so that you could be forgiven of your sins, and that I could be forgiven of mine. That's the great I Am. Do you know Him in that way? Ted's going to come up and lead us in a song in just a moment. And we'll use this as an invitation song, and it's an opportunity for anyone to be able to come and maybe on your heart this morning is to say, you know, I've known Jesus in a lot of ways, but I've never really understood Him in that kind of way as the I Am for me in my life. Then you have the opportunity to get to know Him in that way. Maybe there's something going on in your life that you need to overcome, some sin struggles, something that Satan has got you bound up in. It's a great time and opportunity for you to come and seek prayers and help and guidance to overcome that. There may be somebody here this morning who's not a Christian yet. You haven't given your life to Christ. And so you don't know Jesus as the great I Am or as any other ways that we've been talking about and getting to know Jesus. You know of Him, you know about Him, but you don't know Him in this way. But if you're ready to change that this morning, to make Jesus your great I Am, Lord of your life, then declare Him as such. Repent of the sins that are separating you from God and have those sins washed away in the waters of baptism. You can do that right now, this morning. I'll be up front to receive anyone that wants to respond publicly here. Dale, will you be in the back? Dale will be in the back to if anybody would like to just have a private prayer or talk with him back there in the back. We want to serve you in any way that we can. So the invitation is open. Let's stand together and sing.